Why Healing Happens. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Why Healing Happens. Healing means that we go from an illness to our original purity and integrity. We go from an appearance or an illusion. And, of course, our original purity and integrity is an illusion and appearance. We go from an illusion and appearance of something that we are not in favor of to something that we are in favor of. Now, this is tremendously important that we think of just this point. We go from something we're not in favor of to something we're in favor of. If we have an interest in something, we spend a lot of time on it. If we have an interest in sailing, we learn all about sailing. We learn all about boats. We learn all about weather. We learn all about taking the boat out into the lake or into the ocean or on the rivers. We learn what the river techniques are. We learn what the rules of the road are. We learn all these things with a great enthusiasm because boating is a lot of fun. It would seem to me that wholeness, perfect health, our original purity and integrity, also would be a lot of fun. But we don't look at it quite that way. We look at it more like it is something that we don't deserve, or something that we deserve to have, the illness, and we don't deserve to have the wholeness. But we want to train ourselves to think and realize that we want to have the wholeness. Now, it's not a matter that we want to have it or we deserve it. It's a matter that we are interested in learning how to sail a boat. We want to go sailing. And so the fact that we can sail is a fact that everybody can sail. And we just want to learn how to do it and do it right and do it perfectly and do it to our highest and best and the most beneficial way to us. Now, what is the most beneficial way to us to learn how to experience wholeness, to learn how to experience our original purity and integrity? What's the most beneficial way that we can do to go back to this program, which is our reality, which is who we really are? How do we get there? Is there a course we can take in boating to health that we could take in learning about health and learning about wholeness and learning about our original purity and integrity? Well, yes, there is. And that course is called the Course of Positive Thinking. Now you say, oh, come on now. Positive thinking certainly cannot do that. I have seen people teach positive thinking and they have had so many ideas. It's always usually about money or it's about health or it's about whatever. But it's about something that people don't have. Yes, that's true. That's true. Positive thinking, as it is generally thought, is a matter of changing your thinking from one thing to another thing. Well, the program that I prescribe, or the program that I ascribe to, is a program of putting the cause in motion for what you want, not against the cause of what you don't want, not in opposition to anything at all, but putting a cause in motion specifically, totally, categorically for just what it is you want. So let's just take a point. Now, I would like to have my body be whole and perfect. It doesn't matter what illnesses may be in my body or I may be experiencing. It does not matter what things are distressing me. It doesn't matter what sort of circumstances are upsetting me. It doesn't matter anything. If I have a cold, that's just a simple term to use. We've used it often before. If I have a cold, I choose to have wholeness. Now, what is wholeness in relation to having a cold? Wholeness is breathing comfortably. Wholeness is not feeling tired or not feeling dragged down by the cold, how it usually works on us, or causing us to cough or sneeze or be unpleasant to ourselves. Now, you see, those are all the symptoms, and those are all the negatives that we are not interested in having. And those are all the things that normally we would be concentrating on. How do I get rid of the cold? I take a cold pill or a cold capsule, or I do this or that. And how do I get rid of the coughing? I take the cough capsule. And how do I get rid of this fever? I take the fever capsule. And how do I get rid of all these things? Well, you see, we spend so much time thinking about the problem that we allow the problem to be our number one concern. We want to learn how to sail the problem. We want to learn how to be the boatsman of our cough, of our sneeze, and of our unhappiness, our headaches, and what have you. Isn't that a silly thing? Isn't that a silly thing? Now, this is not unusual. I have talked with many long-time practitioners, long-time professionals in the field of spiritual healing. And when it comes to their personal life, they find it very, very difficult to not pay attention to the problem. They know, as I hear them say to our people on the Worldwide Healing Ministry, they know and they say to them, now, pay attention, concentrate on wholeness, and say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, and do not allow yourself to think up anything else. Of course, that's not the right thing to say. It's really what we're saying, but it's not the right thing to say. You do not say, do not allow yourself to do anything, because the minute we say, do not allow yourself to do something, you're going to do it. The child always wants to do what he's told not to do. It's just sort of a psychological malady that we have, adult or child. And what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? Well, it takes practice. We have trained ourselves so many years, whether we are 5, 10, 20, 30, 50, 60, 100, no matter how many years old we are, it really makes no difference. We have all of our life trained ourselves to recognize the problem and then fight it. Recognize the problem and then fight it. Well, I proclaim, recognize our wholeness and claim it. Recognize our wholeness and claim it. Recognize our reality and claim it. Reveal our reality to us now. Oh, our reality may be a beautiful sunny day outside, and we go into our boat, and it has a dash, and it has windows around it and everything else like that. And our boat has been in a very dusty environment, and the water and the rain has blown around, and a crud has built up on the windows of the boat. So as we look out of the boat and say, hey, I thought it was going to be a beautiful day for me to go sailing, we look out the windows and all we see is that crud on the windows, and we don't really realize that that's crud. We don't realize that's dirt that must be cleaned off. And so we step out of the cockpit and the cabin, and we look around and say, hey, the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. The sky is bright in every single way. Let's go and play. And so you say, ach, mein Gott, I have to clean off my windshield. I have to clean off the windows of my cabin. And so you get out your Windex, and you spray it, and you wipe it, and you spray it, and you wipe it, and you spray it, and you wipe it. Three or four times you clean that window, that windshield and windows within an inch of their life. You just go at them, go at them. You're not concerned the fact that they're dirty. You're concerned about getting them clean. And you clean them, and you clean them, and you clean them, and you polish, and you polish, and you polish, and you clean. And pretty soon, it is so beautiful. It is almost as though there's no window there at all. And you go inside, and you look out, and you prepare to take your boat out. And you say, wow, what a lovely day, how wonderful it is. Well, that's called maintenance. 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 What an interesting word maintenance is. Maintenance is what keeps everything in perfect harmony. Maintenance is what brings all things into divine order. Maintenance is what allows life to flow smoothly and beautifully, because all the little things are taken care of as you go along. The machinery is oiled, and all of the things, the windows are cleaned, and the outside is cleaned, the hull is painted, and the mast is there, the sail is unfurled and ready to flow and carry the wind and let you go. It's just so beautiful. it's just so beautiful when everything is in the positive, in the now, in the whatever it is you want. Now, you go down to the boat, and you want to take the boat out. And the boat has a bunch of knots. Whoever was there doing it last time knew nothing about sailor knots. They tied a knot inside of an outside of a knot and round about inside of a knot, and they were going to make a knot, so many knots there that it couldn't come out. And well, it was also difficult to unknot it and prepare it to go for a sail. But that didn't bother you. You just gently tugged at each knot and loosened them and unfurled them until they came apart, and then you rolled up the cord in a proper ship-shaped manner, and you put it on the deck so that it would be ready to cast off whenever you wanted to do it. Now, you don't look at the past and say, what stupid fool has been here putting this rope here and tying it up in a bunch of knots and not knowing any. Why do they let somebody who doesn't know anything about sailing and doesn't know anything about knotmanship and let them play there? You don't say that. That's of no concern to you. The only concern to you is to unfurl the knots and then roll up the cord so it's ready to be used again properly, and then go for your sail. Each little step is part of being a seaman. A seaman doesn't care how many times he has to scrub the deck. He doesn't care how many times he has to furl and unfurl the sail of his boat. He doesn't care how many times he has to wash the windows of his cabin. He doesn't care how many times he has to make the bed after he gets up each morning. He doesn't care how many times anything. It's a routine. It is a program. It is an established program that allows him to do beautiful things and to have beautiful experiences. As we walk our spiritual path, and as we walk our healing path, our wholeness path, we take each aspect that comes along. If something disturbs us, it is merely a wake-up call, a reminder of our stating the truth about ourselves. If someone says, you don't know how to drive, what are you doing behind the wheel of a car? And you know that you made a foolish move, but you don't respond to that. You just say, sorry, and you correct yourself and you put yourself in line. You don't get angry at the other person for being angry at you. You just say, okay, I'll be a little more careful now. I'm going to watch the road a little more careful. I'm driving. That's a responsibility. I'm going to pay attention to it. Now, you are living in your body as I. And as we live in our bodies have little things that we do to them. We don't wash them like we should, perhaps. We don't tender them like we should. We use our hand as a hammer sometimes. We don't eat the proper foods, or we shove food down our gullet so quickly because we have to rush to do something, and then we have an upset stomach. The food does not digest properly and eliminate properly, and we feel all uptight inside. And then when we say, I am peace, I am peace, I am peace. I am peace, I am peace, I am peace. As we say, I am peace. Then, I'd rather do it in the first person. When I say, I am peace, then my body just settles back into a wonderful, relaxed state. And all the anxiety and tension that I have for whatever had been disturbing me fades away for a while. And then the most important thing I can do is to take a hammer and hit my toe. What will that do? It would certainly take my attention to my toe and away from anything else, and I would not be thinking of anything else. I would not feel anything else. I would not know anything else. I'd only know my hurt toe. Oh, 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 oh. Now, hitting our toe with a hammer is no answer, but it certainly is a very valid way of saying, take your attention to something new and positive. As you have an experience that is not desirable for you, instead of thinking about the experience and worrying how to handle it, relax, be at peace, let go, and start to think of something else. Start to think of whatever projects you're working on. If you're a musician, work on your music. If you're a mathematician, work on your math. If you're an artist, work on your art. If you are a teacher, work on your teaching. Get so excited about your teaching that your children or adults, whoever you teach, are excited too and learn quickly and easily. It's all a matter of what you want to do. What do you want to have? Okay, so now we have this thing that disturbs us and we turn our attention from it to something else. Now, I don't say you turn your attention from it to something else, as I don't do that. I stop thinking about it, yes, but I don't do that. I start thinking about something else. Now, should something disturb me, I would think of something that doesn't disturb me. I would think of eating a chocolate pie, you know, or eating some chocolate cake with chocolate ice cream on it. I would think of doing some silly thing like that. And as I think about that, ooh, my whole attitude changes tremendously. As I think about things that I like, now, perhaps that's what I should be doing. I should have a notebook of things I like, things I like to do, things I like to think, things I like to say, experiences I like to have, places I like to go to, people I like to be with. And write these things down, just not as a definitive statement, but just a short phrase that tells what it is that I like to do. I like to go sailing, and you got that drift already, didn't you? I like to go canoeing. We have a kayak here, and we don't use it one little bit because it's just sitting up there in the garage above the car. But to take it down is a bother, and we have a lake only 5 miles away, and we can go over there, and we can take the kayak and kayak all over the lake if we wish. But we don't do it. I shouldn't be saying we don't do it. I'm being contrary to my very purpose here. We have the kayak. I can go kayaking. It's only 5 miles away to go kayaking. How wonderful. I have golf clubs around here someplace, and I play with that occasionally. We have tennis rackets around here, and we play with that occasionally. I hike the mountains around our property here and delight in doing it. And I take pictures as I go along and use them because they charm me and they delight me, and I delight to see the way the pictures show me things that I hadn't really noticed before. So beautiful is the landscape here. So beautiful are the trees and the bushes and the plants that are growing here. It is incomparable. I do not compare it to anywhere else because it has its own charisma. As I walk the path, I feel the bliss, the harmony, the joy of my treatments and my prayers and my statements and the treatments and prayers and statements of everyone else who walks these paths and speaks positive, beautiful words. Now, I have so much that I can think positively about. Now, instead of saying positive thinker, which is a good statement, but instead of saying we learn to be a positive thinker, we learn to think about what we would like to experience. Now, we don't want to say that either. We learn to think about what interests us. And as we think about what interests us, we put ourselves in the path of that experience. It's not something we'd like to have or wish we could have. We have it every time we think about it. We have these beautiful experiences every time our mind dwells upon them for even a moment or a longer period. It's wonderful. It's who we are. And as we do this, our attention is on them. And pretty soon, our attention's no longer on those other things that disturbed us. Pretty soon, the only thing that we do, we wake up in the morning, oh, what a beautiful morning, oh, I feel so great. That we stretch and then we get up and we do our morning chores and we get started with the day. And as we stand up straight, we say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And every organ, action, function of our body responds to the challenge of wholeness and perfection. And whatever it might have had, no. Oh, I used to get up and have a backache, no. You don't think of what you used to done. You say, I'm whole and perfect. I say, I'm whole and perfect. And when I'm whole and perfect, I do not think or endorse anything other than wholeness and perfection. That's all I know is wholeness and perfection. I'm whole and perfect. And when I walk the morning path, the 3 miles around the property here, more or less, as I walk that path, what do I say to myself? I say I'm whole and perfect. I say I'm wonderful. I say I'm fantastic. I say I'm glorious. I say I'm the greatest, 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 greatest thing that ever walked, that ever did anything at all. I'm whole and perfect. I'm fantastic. I'm glorious. Hey, can you say that about yourself? Can you say that about yourself? It's a wonderful thing to say. My goodness sakes, it's a wonderful thing to say. Now think about it. Think about it. If you say that about yourself, as I say that about myself, that's where my thought is. And wherever my thought is, that's what my experience is. So now I want to train myself to think positive at all times. Whenever anything comes up to me, I speak positive. I go to the doctor and he gives me a report, and that's whatever I expect. Now, what did I expect when I went to the doctor? Did I expect him to tell me I'm whole and perfect? Or did I expect him to tell me I have a problem? If I expected that he would tell me I have a problem, then that's what I got. And if that's what I got, that's what I expected, and there's no getting around it. I cannot say, it's not my fault. I don't know how it happened. It happened because we empowered it. We gave it power with our thought. We gave it the right to be, the right to exist. We gave it the right to be something that's a complaint for us or something that we don't like, because that's what we are talking about. Now, when will we stop doing that? That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When will we start doing it? Whenever we start liking ourselves. You go to a child, I've said this before, you go to a child and you say to him, you're a naughty boy, you're a terrible boy, you're a bad boy. And the child will respond in that way, even if he were a good boy. Now, if you go to a child and you say, oh, you make me so happy, you are so wonderful, and let him alone, just keep planting seeds and say, you always are so thoughtful, you always are doing just the right thing, and then let it be, and then you're so kind to your brothers and sisters. Man, they enjoy having you as a brother in their family because you are so wonderful and so thoughtful. And let it be. Say, oh my goodness, you know, your dad told me that you did this beautiful thing for him. And he is so pleased, and he doesn't know how to tell you because he doesn't know how to say nice things, but he's learning. And all these things build up, build up, build up. And when you say all these positive things, you can have the most recalcitrant child in the world, the most unhappy and the most bothersome child in the world, and he will blend with whatever seeds you are planting. Now, remember this. He will blend with whatever seeds I'm planting in him. He'll blend with whatever seeds I'm planting in him. He'll blend with whatever seeds I'm planting in him. If he will blend with every seed I'm planting in him, what about me? The seeds I'm planting in me. Will I succeed to have these wonderful seeds that I'm planting in myself come forth to fruition and fulfillment? They certainly do. They certainly do. What a happy guy that person is. What a beautiful, happy woman that person is. How they go around and just have joy written all over their face and their bodies. And we don't know of their problems. Well, mainly, they don't have problems. Well, how can anyone live in this life of turmoil and strife and not have problems? Well, many people do. And the people who do are interested only in themselves, not selfishly, but only in themselves, and create their world around them as a wonderful, joyous, happy world, that everyone is doing whatever it is that pleases them to make the world a beautiful, glorious place. Think happy thoughts. Train yourself in happy thoughts. Live with happy thoughts. And watch how things happen. Now, something that helps us along the way might be this concept. Anytime something disturbs you, immediately stop, take a deep breath, a very deep breath, and yawn, and a deep breath, and do that 5 or 6 times. And then just relax, let go. And then start saying to yourself, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And say it 200 times, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And then go about your life. You could go about your life while you're saying, I'm whole and perfect, because as you're saying, I'm whole and perfect, it becomes the mantra of your heart. It becomes the evidence of your life. It becomes the experience that you know is true for you. No matter when. Whatever disturbs you, stop a moment. You're better stopped than going. And say, yawn deeply. Your whole body will just sort of flake out. Your mind will relax. All of the tensions drain away from your body. And you're not sort of fragile and limited in any way, but you're just totally relaxed. Then you go on with what you're doing, and then if you're disturbed again, you relax again. Consciously, specifically relaxing and saying, I am in divine order now. I am divine order now. All is in divine order now. I am peace. I am peace. I like me. I like me. I like me. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. Say these statements and say these statements. Live as though these statements were the criteria of your life as they are the criteria of my life. I say these statements thousands of times every day. But Herb, why should you have to say it? You know all about the principle, and you teach the principle, and you know the principle, and you live the principle. Yeah, that's true. But I also live in a world of people who like to be perhaps a little contrary, and who like to tell me their contrariness, and I say, no, don't tell me what the problem is. Let's concentrate on the solution. Don't tell me what you've gone through. Let's concentrate on the solution. I have some dear friends who are under distressing circumstances. One young man is in prison, and he's in the process of getting a parole. And he also had to go to the hospital to have some work done on his feet. And the work was done satisfactorily. He can walk now and get around just fine. And he goes for a hearing to hear how soon he'll be released from prison. And he has to tell me all of the things that they said against him, and then all the things that his lawyer said right, and how the prison board heard everything that was said and said, you have really done an amazing turnabout. You have really shown yourself to be a worthwhile citizen. If every citizen were as thoughtful, powerful, oh, sure, you say, well, he's trying to say these things because he wants to get out. Yes, but the thing is, he's saying them over the year now, over the years. He's saying them every board meeting. He must keep his mind on this statement, or else he might slip and say the wrong thing. And so these statements that he is saying by enforcement are things that he now is taking on as his own charisma. This is who he is, and this is who he's living as. This is, and no matter what, but I'm getting him away from telling me all the stories that led up to how good he is and how wonderful he is. You see, we want to tell people what our problem is. Oh, let me show you my scar. Let me show you the indication that I had some great tragedy in my life. No, that is past. We don't need to know it. We don't need to know it. I had a lovely lady who had a great many burns on her body from a fire she experienced. And she told us all about it and all about how it was and so forth. And I said, okay, now we're done. Now, you are Miss Fantastic. You are a young spring chicken. You are a beautiful, dynamic woman. You are fabulous. And she says, yes, yes, yes. And I said, well, now, if you talk about the past, if you talk about the experiences that you came through as wonderfully as you have come through it, but if you talk about it, you empower that to be in your thinking system. You empower that to be in your life and in your experience. Now, what do you want in your experience? More of the flames? No. Well, let's let that be past. What do you want in your experience? Well, I am a happy lady. I'm a very happy lady. Everything goes my way. Everything is wonderful. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I can drive my car wonderfully. I am a dynamic woman, a powerful woman, a beautiful woman, a successful woman. I'm fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. And, you know, she is. She is. And the more she says it, the more she puts that into her body, into her mind, into her affairs, so that no matter what experience of the past as a memory that might come up, she just passes it off. No matter what experience comes up in the present that says to her, you're limited, she just passes that off. She will not accept that. Well, I told you this before, that here she is in her late 80s, 90, and she is delivering groceries to people who are shut-ins and who are the aged. And they're 10 years younger than she is, but they have chosen to live old, act old, and be old. She has chosen to eternally be young, dynamic, forceful, fantastic, and forever in charge of her life, forever on top of everything, by speaking her word, claiming it every moment of her life. Now, this is our lesson for us. Now, we've had our breathing exercise, which is a very good way to get started on this. But another exercise that's very, very important is writing down who we are. Writing down, am I an artist? I'm an artist. Am I a writer? I'm a writer. Am I a poet? I'm a poet. Am I mommy or daddy or am I a child or whatever I am? Write it down. Write it down. But what kind of an artist am I? The best. What kind of poet am I? The best. Everybody thinks their poetry is good, and many poets don't think the poetry of other poets are that good. But each poet expresses himself in his poetry. He expresses what's going on in his consciousness. Each artist expresses his imagination and his dynamics in his art. Many of the modern artists, we look at them and we think, I wonder what that all means. I wonder what they're trying to say. And then when we see how they paint, just sort of taking brushes and brooms and sweeping across a canvas and coming up with something they call wonderful, well, I'm hard put to do that. I'm really a photographer type of man. I like to see almost a photographic picture of things in nature and things around, because that's what it is. And the same with music. I like music that has a gentle sweetness to it, that has a lullaby to it, that has a melody to it that makes you feel very warm and tender and loving. So write this down, all these phrases of who you are and what wonderful faculties you have. Show it to people or not, better not to show it, but show it to people or not, but write it down, write it, and keep adding to it every day because you keep thinking of new aspects of your being. Now, another technique of benefit to a person who is developing the awareness, revealing their wholeness, is the idea of singing. And we have a lot of joy songs that are specifically designed to train us in getting our mind in the right order. Each time I look in the mirror, I see only God in me. To know me is to love me. I know I am God, God I am. You see, the words say what we want to do. Why can I say I am God, I am God, I am God? Why can I say I am God and know that it is true? Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? Why can I say I am God? Because that's all there is. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're a Caruso or a diva or whether you are just an ordinary person singing, but you're singing to yourself. Walk and go into your bathroom. Go out in the fields. Go everywhere. In the bathroom, you have a resonance that makes you sound so good, you should really record it, because it is good. But that resonance is sort of an added-on thing. But you can do that when you go out in the fields, when you go along the river, when you're walking down the parkway and there's nobody around. Get out early in the morning, just early in the morning before everybody else starts coming out. and walk along, be dressed up in your jogging togs, and you don't have to jog, but just walk along, as you look like a jogger then. And then sing, I like me, 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 yeah, I like me, ah, I like me, I like me, I like me. And if anyone hears you, they'll think you're crazy. But so what? People think you're crazy already. Who wants to be thought crazy and be sick? Be crazy and be whole and perfect. But be crazy as a fox. You know what you're doing. You're putting the cause in motion, and you're getting the experience of wholeness, of liking yourself and enjoying yourself. This is what it's all about. Now, there are many, many more techniques, many, many more things that can be done. And in subsequent talks on this very issue, we'll bring up more of these things to do. And we'll make them available to you if you want them. We're buying ourselves a projector that we'll take with us on our seminars, and we'll project on the wall, wherever we are, the joy songs we have with us. We'll project up there the statements, the positive statements that are beneficial to us as we go along. And when people come to our seminars, they say, where's your handout? Where's your free stuff? And we'll say, right in your pocket. Pull out your notepad and write it down. Okay, now, write down these joy songs. They're right up there, right up on the screen if you want them. They're not that difficult, not that long, not that hard. And you can even write down the melody that goes with it. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Why can I say I am God, say I am God, say I am God? You see, and as you do that, the writing it down is part of the learning skill, is part of the beneficial skill. Because it's your choice. It's something you choose to do. So, go for it. This is what it's all about. And as I say, we'll be back with more ideas shortly. So, take these ideas and run with them. Say beautiful things about yourself, because that's the truth. Say beautiful things about your body, because that's the truth. Say beautiful things about your mind, because that's the truth. Say beautiful things about your world, because that's the truth. Say beautiful things about your family, because that's the truth. Say beautiful things about your relationships, because that's the truth. Say beautiful things about your job, about your friends, about everything that is you, because that is you. And they are all beautiful. Have a lovely day, and know that I do love you. I love you. I love you.